Well, beloved, we are in perilous times. As you look out upon the world stage and you see the news, hear the news, you understand what Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 24 in his Olivet Discourse. He said, see that none deceive you, that many will come in my name, many will come proclaiming to be the Christ, and there will be wars and rumors of wars. And he said at that time also, see to it that you're not troubled. And so we are in that time today. We are in the end times. And the message that I have for you today is about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And we're going to be taking that up here in just a minute. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, has been given to every believer to abide with us, to counsel us, to give us instruction, to be our advocate against the devil. And so also the Holy Spirit has been given to give us comfort in times of perilous activity on the earth, in times of war, in times of peace, in times of events on the world stage that we can't make any sense out of. And so at this time, I would just encourage you, spend more time with the Lord. Spend more time in prayer. Spend more time studying God's Word, because if you get consumed by the events of the day, if you get consumed by the headlines and the 24-hour news cycle, you're going to get very depressed, you're going to get discouraged, you're going to get down. And so spend time with the Lord at this time. Spend time in prayer, beloved. The kings of the earth are making their stand. The kings of the earth are rattling their sabers. And we see, too, even that some of the kings of the earth are going to war against each other in very dramatic ways. And so we need to pray. We need to pray that God's will be done. We need to pray that God's will be manifested in the leaders of the countries that are at war with each other, that this war in Ukraine and Russia does not spiral out of control and become a nuclear war, which is always a possibility when you have nuclear-capable countries involved. And so we just need to pray. And so I'm going to keep that as a reminder here the next few weeks as we meet here on the radio, that we pray for Ukraine, we pray for Russia, for Vladimir Putin, President of Russia, and for President Biden. Give them wisdom. Give them the peace of the Holy Spirit. Give them understanding that they can back off from a nuclear confrontation here in this situation. Well, before we start, I wanted to say a few things about what is happening in our Africa mission. We have a very exciting project going at the Children's Home. We're building a biogas digester there. It's a big digester. It's about 10 feet deep and 10 feet in diameter, the digester itself, and then gas lines are coming out of it. And we're setting up a couple of burners at the kitchen that we can cook our meals for the children there on gas. We've been using lots of firewood, of course, here in Africa. Most of the people use firewood or charcoal, and a small percentage, maybe 25%, use some kind of bottled gas. But we're going to be able to produce our own gas now that we have waste from livestock that we can turn into a viable gas project and use that to cook our meals. And the other project we have going, we're building a dining room and kitchen up at the church compound, and we'll be making small meals up there, tea, coffee, chapatis, mandazi, just some simple meals. And we're going to have a little roadside cafe or hotel, they call it here, a roadside hotel for people to stop in and get some treats and simple meals. And that will be at the church compound next to our Posho Mill, next to our Duca. And so that is exciting. Also, we're building a wall around that dining area now, and so we'll have that functional in a couple of weeks to start serving some meals. Well, today we're taking up the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as I spoke before, and this is a very exciting message. When you receive the Holy Spirit, we've been talking about that the last 3 to 4 weeks. If you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. Peter stood up in front of thousands of people there and preached the gospel with great power, great conviction. And he said, repent and be baptized. For those who were asking the question, what must we do to be saved? And he said, repent and be baptized for the remission or the rolling back of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so when you receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, you receive the abiding presence of the person of the living God within you. That person abides with you. He is with you. You also have guardian angels with you, maybe one, maybe more. But you have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, the promise from the Father to abide with you. And when Jesus left this earth, he counseled the disciples right before he left. He said, you will receive power. When the Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. And that is the exciting thing about having the abiding presence, the person of the Holy Spirit with you. You can have some power. You can have really the power, the resurrection power. You can have that power that Jesus Christ himself had, not in probably the same measure. Although Jesus said, greater works you will be able to do than I've done, but it's more about quantity and the fact that we're not confined in geographical space as Jesus was. But you have power, you have access to power, and it comes through the Holy Spirit. It comes through the abiding presence of the Counselor, the Paraclete, the Advocate. And so that power will put in you a desire, a burning fire, a desire to go out and do something great for the gospel, do something to preach the gospel, to share the message, to give your testimony. And beloved, if you don't have that unction, if you don't have that urging and that earnest desire to get out and share the gospel, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You may have been baptized, but you did not receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ask God to give you the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ask God to give you that burning desire, that unction, that fire in your belly, that fire in your gut to go out and do something great for the gospel and not just be a church pew warmer. That's fine. I'm all for going to church. Go to church every Sunday. But go out and ask the Lord to do something great through you, that you can be a warrior for the kingdom, you can be a fire-burning warrior for the kingdom, and do something great in measure that you have never done before. Well, 1 Corinthians 12 is the defining chapter in the Bible on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and actually if you go to 1 Corinthians 12, it leads in then to 1 Corinthians 13 and 14. There's three chapters here that are the defining chapters on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so this is the most comprehensive teaching of any passages of Scripture in the Bible. And so I urge you to study them. We're not going to cover all three of those chapters today. We're just primarily looking at the gifts. And I want to put this Scripture in your mind here, as we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want you to put this Scripture in your mind and in your heart, that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights above. And this is from James chapter 1, verse 17. And it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. That's Jehovah God, the Father of lights, with whom there is no change or no variation or shifting shadow. And verse 18, of his own will, of God's own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits of his creation. Well, if we're the first fruits of his creation, we want to give back to God, of course, and we want to do something great for the kingdom, of course, and we want to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us to be a messenger to give our testimony. And beloved, if every good gift comes down from the Father of lights above, you should desire it simply because it comes from God. You don't have to understand it even after this message today. You're not going to understand everything about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Even the teacher, even me, I don't understand everything about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're like God himself because they are deep. And the understanding of them takes years of study, and it also takes years of experiential knowledge. You have to experience them to really understand them. And so it's not just like learning your ABCs, the alphabet, and then you can start putting words together. When you start to study the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you get deep into the mysteries of God. And so you're not going to understand everything about it. And so don't let that be a roadblock to you to keep from desiring the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I don't understand miracles. I don't understand prophecy. I don't understand speaking in tongues. I don't understand healings. You're never going to understand because we only see in part. We only know in part. We only understand in part. We only use a small amount of our brain capacity. That's been proven in secular science, I think you would say. We only understand a small amount of what is taught in the Bible or any other subject for that matter. Relativity, mathematics, physics, or any other subject, there is constantly new developments being learned about every day, being discovered every day. And so as you study the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as you learn about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you find out it's a deep, deep subject, but continue to desire simply because they come from God. Don't discard it because somebody told you that we no longer have miracles because the last apostle died 2,000 years ago, or we no longer have a God that heals in miraculous ways because the last apostle died. Don't buy into that kind of logic. Don't buy into that kind of understanding. You seek it because it comes from God, and God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible tells us. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have a God who is the same, and the same powerful God as the one that led Moses through the Red Sea, and as the one that raised Jesus from the dead. And so we can desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit without complete understanding, simply because they come from God. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul starts this off, and let this be an admonishment to you also. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Well, there's Paul saying that to us right now. He doesn't want us to be ignorant of the spiritual gifts. That's why I'm teaching this today, so that you can have some understanding and not be ignorant on the subject. And Paul goes on to say, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God, that is the Holy Spirit, calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so when you hear people testifying about Jesus as Lord, you know they have the Holy Spirit. The devil can also lie, so you have to match that up with their actions and test every spirit. But then Paul goes on to then talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 4, he says there are diversities or different allotments or various kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And so he's introducing the idea that there are various kinds of gifts. They're not all the same. They can manifest themselves in different ways. They can manifest themselves through different people. They don't all look the same when they come through different people. Everybody has their own personality. Everybody has their own ministry, their own particular gifts that are appropriate or more refined or more appropriate in them. And so Paul says there are diversities, or there are different kinds or different allotments of gifts, but the same Spirit. They all come from the Holy Spirit. And in verse 5, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Isn't that the truth? We look at ministries all over the world. We look at preachers. We look at apostles, prophets all over the world. They all have different gifts. They all have different manifestations. Everybody's ministry doesn't look the same. Praise God for that. Everybody's ministry doesn't do the same thing. Some are ministering to orphans. Some are evangelists preaching on the platform. Others are pastors. Some are doing this and others are doing that. Some are drilling water wells. And so there's a variety of ministries, and the Holy Spirit urges and prompts and encourages different people to have different gifts, and the gifts are manifested then in different ways. And Paul talks about this here in verse 6. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation or the expression of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And so when God gives a gift through the Holy Spirit, He doesn't give it for our benefit or for our boasting, or that we can put a stripe on our shoulder and say, well, I have the gift of healing, or I have the gift of miracles, or I have the gift of tongues, or the gift of interpretation of tongues. It's not for our individual accolades. It's not for our individual boasting or our individual pride. It's for the profit of all. And keep that in mind as you're praying for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's for the blessing and the benefit of all of the body of Christ. And so God will use you to minister to the body of Christ. And I see it as a carpenter's toolbox. I have a toolbox my grandfather gave me, and he built this thing probably back in 1940 or something. But anyway, it's full of tools. And I can take it, I can put the tools in the carpenter box, take it to a job, and I have a screwdriver, I have a hammer, I have tape measure, pencils, I have some drill bits and a drill and all that in this box. So when I get to the job, I have the different tools that I need to accomplish the purpose for which I was sent to do that job. And so the gifts of the Holy Spirit, in a way, are the very same way. It's a series or a collection of gifts that allow you to do the job. When you go to the job site, you have a collection of gifts or a toolbox full of gifts that allow you to accomplish the work for which you were sent to that job site. And so you can only understand that when you're actually doing work for the kingdom. It doesn't make much sense when you're sitting just in a church pew and you don't get out and minister. You don't understand the need for the gifts, but when you get out and minister, you'll understand the need for the gifts. And it's to destroy the works of the devil. You're building the kingdom of God. You're building the kingdom in many different ways, and it's to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus said, I came to destroy the works of the devil. I didn't come for those who are well and healthy. I came for those who are sick. And if you get out of the church and you go and you minister to those who are sick and need help and need healing, you're going to find the gifts of the Holy Spirit are very valuable to you, and their value then is infinitesimal. It is incomprehensible, but the gifts will be available to you to use when you get out and you minister the gospel of the kingdom of God. Well, then in verse 8, Paul goes into the different gifts, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here today teaching about each one of these in particular. We'll just give a few comments about each one. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Well, the word of wisdom is given so that we can have strategies to defeat the devil, and we can stay ahead of the devil, the wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil. The devil is always scheming against you. If you're a believer, he is always scheming against you to try to take you down, to try to take you out of your calling, to try to take you out of your mission and your charge. And so we need strategies, we need wisdom to stay ahead of the devil, and we need our own strategies, our own plans of attack, and our own strategies so that we can accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. And the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, that's a word of knowledge that is an understanding of a particular person or a particular situation. That we would not know that word of knowledge if it were not for the Holy Spirit. It's a supernatural understanding of a particular detail or a particular person that we would not know otherwise if the Holy Spirit did not teach us and tell us. And so then we can have some supernatural knowledge to put together a strategy, put together a word of wisdom, and that word of knowledge then teaches us something that we could not otherwise know. And then Paul goes on to say, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. And so we have faith that is extraordinary through the Holy Spirit. It's not your usual faith. Everybody is given a small measure of faith. You have faith, your car is going to start when you go out. It could possibly be dead battery. But you have faith that it's going to start because you only allow yourself in this town 5 or 10 minutes to get to where you're going. But this is extraordinary faith. This is a faith to do something great beyond anything that you can see. We don't walk by sight as children of God. And when you're really out there ministering in the kingdom, you don't walk by sight, you walk by faith. That is doing things that you cannot see, and you reach out and believe those things. You're convinced that those things are going to come to pass, even though you can't see them. And so that's an extraordinary kind of faith. And then you have gifts of healings. Gifts of healings are you believe, you put that faith to work to believe that God can heal. And so you lay hands on people. James chapter 5 says, lay hands on those who are sick, and the prayers of a righteous person availeth much. It accomplished much. And so when you lay hands on people and you have that gift of healings, that gift then allows God to work through you, see that healing come into that person and accomplish healing in that person. And then in verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. This is some extraordinary kind of working of miracles that goes against the laws of nature, goes against the laws of physics, goes against the natural order of things that you ordinarily see day in and day out. And so God still does some miracles. I can attest to that. I've seen some miracles that go against the natural order of the universe. And then he goes on to say, to another, prophecy. Well, prophecy is edification, exhortation, and consolation. It's speaking into, in some cases, speaking into someone's future about things that only God can know. And sometimes it's speaking encouragement in a way that only prophetic words can be given, to encourage and to exhort or to correct, and also to give comfort. Prophetic words sometimes give comfort to people who have particular kind of mourning and loss in their heart and in their soul. And so that prophetic word comes from the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then to another, the discerning of spirits, that is to be able to look at a person and tell what kind of evil spirits are prompting their behavior, are controlling their behavior. That is the discerning of spirits, where the Holy Spirit gives you knowledge and an understanding of evil spirits that are operating through a person. And then the last two are the different kind of tongues. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're given a peculiar language, a particular language, a language of tongues. It may be an earthly language, maybe a heavenly language, and then in addition to that, you're given the interpretation of tongues that will allow you to interpret that heavenly language that you have been given. And so all of these gifts put together are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are nine of them. I urge you to study them more, as we're not going to have time to go into them in great detail, but there are nine of them. One person can have all nine, or one person can manifest one or two or three in a more profound way and a lesser way for the other six, or something like that. But it is possible for a person to have all of them and all of those gifts to be operating through one particular person. Well, this is just a cursory teaching on this subject. It's a deep, deep subject. We're going to go into some more of it next week, and so you won't want to miss that. Stay tuned for that. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for all of you listening, and we invite you to partner with this ministry. We invite you to partner with us. We can keep this radio broadcast coming, and also these great projects, missions, and crusades going on in Africa. And so we invite you to partner with us. Stay tuned for contact information. We'd love to hear from you today. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.